From NPR News in Washington, I'm Carol Van Damme. President Obama received a warm and lavish welcome in New Delhi today, where he's meeting with the Indian Prime Minister and other top Indian officials. The president spoke briefly to reporters as he arrived at the palace-like residence of India's president, saying he believes the relationship between the U.S. and India will be one of the defining partnerships in the 21st century. Mr. Obama is trying to open up Asian markets to American businesses. Later today, the president will address India's parliament. Vice President Joe Biden met on Sunday with Israel's prime minister as the Obama administration tries to revive Israeli-Palestinian peace talks. NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports Biden told Jewish groups that the U.S. remains a steadfast partner to Israel.
According to U.S. officials, Senator John Kerry went to Sudan recently with a message from President Obama. That is, that the U.S. will drop Sudan from a list of state sponsors of terrorism as early as July of next year if the independence referendum goes smoothly in South Sudan and in the region of Abyei. Officials who asked not to be named told reporters in a conference call that the U.S. is ready to, as they put it, decouple the issue of Darfur from the terrorism designation. The U.S. does have other sanctions on Sudan, which will remain in place until Sudan improves the humanitarian situation in Darfur. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.
A deadline has passed for the Cuban government to release a group of political prisoners it pledged to free as part of a July agreement with Catholic Church leaders on the island. Nick Miroff reports from Havana that it appears the Cuban government is heading for a showdown.
The Cuban government has freed more than 50 prisoners since July, allowing them to leave the country and go to Spain. But there are 13 others still behind bars who say they won't accept forced exile and they want to stay in Cuba. When Catholic leaders on the island announced the historic agreement, they said the government had agreed to let out all political prisoners and complete the process in 3 or 4 months. With that timetable running out, dissident groups on the island have vowed to stage marches and other acts of protest if the government doesn't fulfill the pledge. Cuban authorities consider all political opponents to be mercenaries at the service of U.S. interests and have not commented on the deadline. For NPR News, I'm Nick Miroff in Havana.
The Vermont Yankee nuclear power plant is shut down tonight. Technicians will be repairing a leak where radioactive water is seeping from a pipe that's connected to the reactor. The radioactive water is not seeping outside the complex, according to Yankee spokesman Larry Smith.
This was a leak on a 24-inch pipe in our feed water system. Actually, about 60 drops per minute was noticed by operators doing their normal rounds.
Smith says there is no threat to public health or safety. The repair crew won't be able to work on the pipe until about 8 o'clock Monday morning in order to let the reactor cool down before entering the reactor area. From Washington, this is NPR News. Keith Olbermann will be back on the air Tuesday. MSNBC's chief executive said Sunday night that Olbermann will once again be hosting the network's most popular show after spending 2 days off the air without pay for making political donations to 3 Democratic candidates. NBC News prohibits employees from making political contributions unless it's pre-approved and under certain conditions. An Ethiopian man and a Kenyan woman have won the New York City Marathon. From member station WNYC in New York, Stephen Nesson reports the world record holder dropped out with a knee injury.
Runners crossing the Verrazano Bridge from Staten Island are first greeted by 71-year-old Henry Langan and his sign reading, "Yo, welcome to Brooklyn, USA." He's been sporting that since the race began in the 1970s.
If you come around, I'll give you a high five.
At the 15th mile, as the front pack crossed into Manhattan, world record holder Haile Gebrselassie of Ethiopia dropped out of the race with a sore knee. His fellow countryman, Gebremiriam, eventually won the race in his New York City debut, and Kenyan Edna Kiplagat came in first for the women. But for 47-year-old John R., a cool fall run was reward enough.
Millions of people showing up, cheering you on. You, no matter where you finish, you feel like you finished first.
For NPR News, I'm Stephen Nesson in New York.
President Obama tells CBS's 60 Minutes the political cost of overhauling the nation's complicated health care system turned out to be much higher than he anticipated. He also admits on the show to getting discouraged at times when trying to turn around the economy. Mr. Obama says he thought he would find common ground with Republicans by pushing forward health care proposals with the Obama administration's Republican leaders. This is NPR.